everybody. Thanks, Ben Anderson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Carrigan, and welcome to Local Folk. I've just played something which is somewhat of a hint as to the guest that I have on tonight. I actually have two guests on tonight. I'm really looking forward to chatting with them. But first, as you know, I have a few announcements. Hey, I want to let you know that today I'm being joined with, among my guests, I'm being joined by Chris Vaughn, who is the Portsmouth Scot, and he is interning here with us today, and he is going to give us the weather. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And he is going to give us the weather report for the next couple of days in Scottish.
Well.
So I'm going to hand it over to...
If you have any problems understanding us, please phone Steve, and he will give you an interpretation of my language here. So here is a 7-day forecast. Tonight, rain likely, mainly before midnight. Mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Southwest wind 10 to 13 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high named 42. Woohoo! Northwest wind, 11 to 15 mile per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Northwest wind, 6 to 11 mile per hour, with gusts as high as 25 mile per hour. Hang on to your hats, folks. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 38. West wind around 5 mile per hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. Wednesday night, clear with a low around 27. Light northwest wind. And for Thursday, sunny, yes, with a high near 42 degrees.
Finally, sunny on Thursday. Sounds good to me. That's all I care about. It's going to be sunny again.
That was the best weather forecast I've heard in a long time. Just hearing you speak. You're hired, man. You're going to make the big bucks at WSCA.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Buy a jumbo-sized coffee instead of a small one.
That's excellent. Hey, that's one of my guests. I just turned her microphone on. It's Joyce Anderson and Harvey Reed that are both with me in the studio today. And they're actually going to be some of my last live guests of the year, because next week I have a recording of Tom Hall from the guy who started the Press Room Session. I'm going to play that recording of him, and then after that it's going to be Christmas, and then it's going to be New Year's, but I think I'm just going to do a recap. So you both have the honor of being the last live guest that I have of 2012. Thank you very much for joining me today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yes. Now, you both, I love, and you, Harvey,
I didn't say check 1, 2. There we go.
You're definitely on. Before we get to chat, I just need to let you know a little bit about what's going on in the community calendar. I need to say that this. So those are the events that are going on outside of the Local Folk world right here. But here inside, we have a couple, a dynamic duo. We have Harvey Reed and Joyce Anderson. This Christmas tide, they will be performing several gigs together in the area. I guess I'll start with, let's see, Harvey, you're sitting closest to me, and we'll just start right where we are right now. You and Joyce both have gigs coming up together. You're performing together. Do you normally perform together, or is this special?
Oh, both. We've been performing together for 20 years, but we have small kids these days, so we don't perform as very often with the two of us. In fact, our kids are even going to join us a little bit on these shows this week. It's our 14th annual holiday show in Dover on the 21st, and we're doing a couple shows on the 16th, Sunday, in York. And if things go well, our boys might join us. We broke them in last night up the other side of the state, and they did great, but they're I've never trained animals, but I get an. I don't even think food works as well with the boys, but they're unpredictable. The little one's only 4, so.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But it's a treat. We like playing together, and we like celebrating this time of year. It's something I've been doing for almost 25 years now, I think, in the area. I used to do the holiday shows with Ed Gearhart for a long time. And he's been doing his own. We've been doing separate Christmas shows for a while, but You know, it's a time of year when music has extra meaning. And I used to kind of hide under the tables a long time ago when it came around, until it hit me that you could do a sort of a small version of Christmas. And I did it myself for a long time, just me playing my guitar and my autoharp. And one of my best-selling records has been just that. And it's sort of an antidote to the massive Mormon Tabernacle, Nutcracker, symphony hugeness of... And I like to think that you can... In fact, you mentioned folk music. I should just say my quick little spiel here. I really believe that the Christmas music thing is probably the last remaining part of the way it always was. We don't really have seasonal music anymore, and they probably had, you know, planting songs and harvesting songs and stuff for different times of year, and there were probably Easter music and midsummer maypole dancing music, and all that stuff seems to have vanished. But at Christmas time, you can really get people. The music has a lot of power, and if you happen to play a song that connects people with their past and their families and their heritage, it's you know, rather than being a time to hide, it's a time to celebrate.
You know, you are right about that, and I hadn't really thought about it, that when you listen to the radio during the year, you hear, you know, pop music, and when it's Christmas time, you hear mostly Christmas pop music, but you do hear what is seasonal music.
But it's all folk music. I mean, when all the pop stars have to do the same songs everybody else does, and they try to write a few new ones, but you really have to, it levels the playing field, and you can really learn a lot about an artist when you hear them tackle the classic stuff, and you can find out who can really sing and who can really play and who can't. It's I just love, in fact, my favorite thing is the bargain bin Christmas records. You know, it's like sometimes they're just like Sammy Davis Jr. and Walter Brennan's Christmas records. I have Captain Kangaroo's Christmas
nice.
Album.
Yes.
There's some wacko stuff, but then every now and then you'll find just a real gem of things in there. You buy it to laugh at it, and it turns out to be really quite good.
That's super
and,
cool.
It's kind of, it's very much the way different musicians will all play the same old folk song, but hearing everybody do their Jingle Bell Rock is... and now, of course, everybody can get into that with iTunes. It's such easy sport now to just line up 50 versions of the same song. And you used to have to be a pro to do that.
That's the truth. Well, how would you both care to give us an example of something that you're going to play at this place, a Christmas tune? Would you be willing, or song?
Oh, I'll show you an example here. You can find out whether I suck or not here. Thank you.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And this is going to be Friday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m., First Parish Church in Dover, New Hampshire.
Deep and crisp and even.
It's the 14th annual holiday concert. Joyce, I need to switch over to you now and go. I'm going to go a little bit further back. We talked a little bit about the show, and I definitely want to hear more Christmas music from you guys because it is the season. You're a fiddle player. You've been playing fiddle since how old were you?
I didn't really discover non-classical stuff till after college. You know, I went down to the press room, and I heard Harvey play at the press room. That was back in 1990.
1990?
Yeah.
So did you used to play the violin?
I played the violin, yeah.
No
but
kidding.
Not, you know, I didn't find my passion in classical music. It was, you know, I kind of, but I'm grateful that my parents kept paying for lessons and I kept playing. And I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like I caught on fire.
Now, did you grow up in a family a family of musicians?
No, my mother played piano, but, and the rest of them can't carry a tune.
The rest of them can't carry a tune.
Same here.
Yeah. Really?
So what happened? I mean, so they kept paying for your lessons, and you're like, all right, I'm going to play
this
thing.
Yeah, and I had some friends, and I played. But after college, I discovered all this music they had been hiding from me. You know, you just don't. I grew up in Durham, New Hampshire, so I should have. I don't know if the Bluegrass Show was going on and all that stuff, but I remember hearing Gary's polka show a few times when
okay.
I was young, but I guess maybe polkas weren't completely my thing, but I loved it, you know.
Yes.
But I didn't occur. But anyway, then I, you know, I discovered bluegrass and early jazz, swing music, Western swing, all this stuff kind of at the same time in the 91.
So you grew up in Durham, and you were, and before that, you were playing a violin, but you were listening to pop music,
yeah, pretty much.
Just whatever, you know.
Pretty much. I discovered some of the greats at the peak of their pop career, like Eric Clapton and mm-hmm. Steve Winwood. I discovered them, like Eric Clapton's August record, I just loved. And I'm sure it's not critically maybe his best, but I think it might have been one of his best sellers. I mean, it was a very good seller. And Steve Winwood's Back in the High Life.
Yeah.
Just, and I finally figured out a way to cover one of those songs, my favorite song from when I was a teenager.
You mean finally recently?
Yeah, it's on my latest record, Swerve.
Swerve, which was recently reviewed and is doing well?
Yeah, you know, if I the tracks are pretty long, so I'm not getting lots of radio play. It was a labor of love. I got swept away, and maybe the next album I'll make some songs that aren't eight or...
It's real art.
Yeah, it's art.
So you've gone kind of full circle, though, you would say, though, is where you were listening to... You know, I kind of sometimes feel that when you're a kid or all the way up through college is where you really develop this a sort of a passion for things. And then, but it was after that that you found the folk music.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you said 91. Boy, that seems like yesterday, but... Not really,
yeah.
When you think about it. Jeesh, unbelievable. This is ridiculous. You know, coming back to it and then putting a spin on it. By the way, my wife, Elizabeth, really admires what you are doing with the fiddle right now.
Awesome.
What we played at the beginning was you doing Magic Carpet Ride as well. So
it's hard to kind of figure it out. I don't know. If you can figure it out, you just get back to me and you tell me what happened. But.
I don't know. I mean, you know, that's why I have people on the show, because I'm hoping that through the exploration of how people, you know, came to the music, I can kind of figure it out for myself. Harvey, did you grow up? You said you did not grow up in a family of musicians.
No, you're not going to get very far tonight with that line of questioning.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a pretty common thing, and there's enough people out there whose biography fits neatly with their music that it looks really great. And you can look at the Cajun people who come from the Cajun community and they play Cajun music, and it all seems to make sense.
Right.
And you can look at Doc Watson and say he's from the mountains of North Carolina, and look what he plays, that North Carolina mountain music. It's
right.
All great.
Yeah.
Although they set him all up to do, he was playing rock and roll when they found him, and his handlers got him to learn all the folk songs, but that's a dirty little secret about
is that
Doc.
Right?
But the bio is real good. But if you actually look at all the musicians and line them up, it's a bell curve, and some of them are from musical families, and a lot of them aren't. Okay. It's a mutation of some sort, and I've been playing music for 45 years, and I don't have a clue of why I play music. There's no one in my life. There were no instruments. There was no music. There were no teachers. There were no inspiration.
I had no mentors. You're probably the closest thing I've ever had to a mentor.
But this is the good news, though. In my opinion, this is the good news, because sometimes I feel that, you know, people, when they look at someone like you, either one of you, you know, they look at you and say, oh, you're so accomplished, and you're this and that, and they want to try to get there, and they're like, gee, I didn't start when I was, you know.
Or people will say, I don't even read music. I don't know how to.
I never had a guitar lesson.
I'm like, my husband doesn't read music, and he never had a guitar lesson. Sorry, buddy.
Do you not read music?
Not a lick. No.
Hey, I don't think it stopped you.
And it wouldn't help me if I did, because none of the music I play is written down anyway. The notation system doesn't work very well for guitar. And all you have to do is, if you play guitar in a different tuning, it works zero. So you can't read guitar music. The people that do read only do it in one tuning. And they basically only have one skill set. And it's just... Yeah, that's kind of what we're working on in our world now. I've been a performer my whole life, and I'm devoting most of my energy now to trying to work on some educational things, and we're trying to do what we can to inspire and encourage and help people who want to play homemade music. It seems like there's quite a groundswell right now.
I think there is.
I don't think it's being fueled by eccentric billionaires or anything buying propaganda. It just seems to be genuine. Our neighbors and our family and random people we meet seem to feel like they're missing something. And there's been this 80-year gap, roughly, because up until about the 1920s, when the record industry began, that was the music industry. People played piano at home and sang
songs.
Right,
the industry was selling sheet music.
Yeah, and that was it. Yeah. And now people, I think, are actually starting to realize that they're missing something really excellent. And you know, playing with electronic gadgets is pretty fun and everything, but you know, a musical instrument is deeper and more rewarding than any of those gadgets.
When you learn a song, you have a friend for life.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether you're any good or not. You know, you can have just as much fun when you suck as when you in fact, there's probably works against you because the longer you've been playing, the more baggage you have, and you have this, you know, little editor in your head that says, I'm supposed to be able to come up with something good. I've been doing this. I'm a professional. And in fact, that's a confession. The reason I play a lot of instruments, and you'll see me sometimes with mandolins or banjos and auto harps and things, is during the period when I was really learning music, I was hanging out with a lot of people, partying and playing in the street corners. And I would tend to just play at the level of whoever I was with. And if there was good musicians, I'd have to play guitar. But if there was a bunch of, you know, really lousy people playing, I'd go get the fiddle or something, and then I'd fit right in. Because it's kind of like tennis. You don't get very far playing with somebody who's not right about your level.
No, definitely not.
And so now in our family jam sessions, I want to play trumpet.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get on
I'm
piano.
I'm working on the piano. Yeah. Oh, God, am I awful. But yeah. Our kids are just starting to play a little bit. And so we have these suck music sessions that are just
kinda
really
like,
fun.
Kind of like the suck ball that we
yeah,
play
out. Yeah, because we can't throw or kick or catch or hit or anything. But yeah.
It's fun to just...
That's where it's fun.
Suck isn't a swear, is it?
No, it's not one of those words, I don't think. Okay. I hope not. I'll find out.
But, you know, I really don't see a lot of leadership in this project to encourage people who want to play homemade music. There's a lot of cooking shows that encourage people to cut up things and try things in the kitchen, and it's the same kind of thing. And Martha Stewart has done wonders teaching people to make wreaths and candles and tablecloths and everything, but there hasn't really been a charismatic, not that I want to do that or anything, but
right.
The pop stars don't seem like they give a hoot whether or not any of us play music. You know, the Jack Nicklaus seems to care that we play golf, you know. I mean, and Ted Williams seemed to care if we played baseball. I don't get a feeling the Sony Corporation could give a flying anything whether or not you had a guitar or a electronic gadget. And they're using pictures of people playing guitars and fiddles in cell phone commercials and car commercials. About half the, you know, the ads now feature young smiling people playing an instrument. They're mooching off of our you know, vibe there, but they're not really encouraging us, and the schools don't have any money to teach people, and there's just nothing happening except that everybody seems to want to play, and we're getting pretty next year I'll have a big project ready to, I'll probably come in and do some radio.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would
talk about it. I'm working on it in my laboratory. I'm working on a secret project, and we have a real soft spot for people that like to play on their back porch. I think it's what one of the things that makes America great. And if you go to other countries, man, go to a jam session in Belgium or something, and it just ain't the same thing, you know.
Well, what about the difference between a session, you know, that you would see at a pub nowadays versus, I just have to say that, you know, there is this groundswell of things that are happening, and I'm hoping that it's because of things like people just getting out there and at least listening, but you're right about participating and not worrying about, you know, in a lot of ways, just doing something.
It's a lot like sex, you know. It's always better to do it yourself than to watch other people, even if they're highly professional, you know. Not to use sorry.
Well, I'm gonna have to agree with you on that.
Playing music and there's really the world gets to be a bigger and bigger mess. We're looking for ways to escape and stick our heads in the sand and just turn off all the crap coming from all sides that's making us feel bad. And man, doing meaningful things, and music is one of the oldest and most reliable pleasures.
A way to really connect with people face to face. Yeah,
everything. It's social. It's spiritual. It's physical. It's mathematical. I mean, anything you want, man. It's there, and you can. And it's. I'll tell you. If I ever get a chance to talk to young people, I'd really like to somehow say it. When I watch them with their thumbs and their texting and everything, it's like, you know, I'm not that old, but I can't. The number of gadgets, my Palm Pilot, and all these things that I've already thrown in the landfill. You just put all this energy into learning how to use and then programming your VCR. That I'm so glad I didn't get any good at that, because what good are those skills? But there's something cool about something like a banjo or a fiddle or a guitar that you can – they get better with age, you know. And I've got a guitar I've had for 40 years now. Man, does that thing sound good. And it's 1.0, man. You don't need to update the firmware.
No.
And you know, all that work on that –
Yeah,
that thumb, that finger work that you got in there. It's,
yeah, it's like my.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it. Can we hear the two of you?
Yeah.
What can we do?
Can we do the Anais Mitchell song? I'd love to. That's such a great song.
We'll have to keep.
Anais Mitchell.
Yeah, you tell them about the song while I have to get in tune better than the last song here. Somebody's gonna.
Well, you can explain, Joyce, while he's tuned up a little bit.
It's a song by a young Vermont songwriter, Anais Mitchell, and. We heard her on a radio interview play it and got a recording of it and learned it from that before she'd even recorded it. She didn't even have a title for the song, but we got her to name it. It's
very
called
good.
Song of the Magi.
Song of the Magi.
She has
okay.
since recorded it, I'm sure. Yes, she has. And it's just an
amazing
song.
This is something that
song.
You're going to play at your potentially play at one of your concerts.
Yes, we
coming
will.
Up?
I always want to play this one. It's a deep, it's hard to add to the Christmas repertoire and be worthy, but man, she hit the long ball, to use a baseball metaphor.
Oh, very good.
It's a beautiful song. She spent some time in the West Bank, and this song is set there.
We came through the cold. We came bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh And there were shepherds praying. There were angels looking down on a West Bank town. And he so loved the world. He so loved the world. Wore we then our warmest capes? Wore we then our walking shoes? Open wide the city gates and let us. A child is born, born in Bethlehem, born in a cattle pen. A child is born on the killing floor, and still he no crying makes. Still as the air is he, lying so prayerfully, waiting for the war. Welcome home, my child. Your home is a checkpoint now. Your home is a border town. Welcome to the brawl. Life ain't fair, my child. Put your hands in the air, my child. Slowly now, single file now, up against a wall where we now are warmest coats. Where we now are walking shoes. Open wide the gate of hope and let us through. Came bearing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and there were trumpets playing. There were lions laying down with the lambs in a West Bank town. And he so loved the world. He so loved the world. And he so loved.
That's a modern, moving song.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. It's an amazing song. One of the most amazing songs I know. I just love it, and I don't have much to say about it. It's just it speaks for itself, you know.
I thought that it did as well.
Yeah, we have another one for you though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it. Yeah please.
Yeah, we've said enough.
Yeah, one by the pen. One of our favorite songwriters, Willie Nelson.
Great.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Crowded street, busy feet, hustle by him. Downtown shoppers, Christmas is nigh. There he sits, all alone on the sidewalk, hoping you won't pass him by. Should you stop? Better not, much too busy.
better hurry. My, how time does fly. In the distance, the ringing of laughter. And in the midst of the laughter, he cries. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write, I love you. Pretty paper. Pretty ribbons of blue. Ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write, I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Pretty pencils to write, I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue.
Lovely.
Yeah, very cool. You said that was a Willie Nelson song. Did Roy Orbison cover that too? Or I don't know.
No, if
you,
idea.
No.
Yeah, I know you guys should've, do. It sounded really nice. So this is what we're gonna. This is a part of what we're gonna hear on Friday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m. First Parish Church in Dover, New Hampshire. Harvey Reed and Joyce Anderson. It's your 14th annual holiday concert. Have the concerts changed at all since you've had children? Does Christmas, I mean, it's a Christmas concert.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it has, there's maybe gotten, that folk version of Jingle Bells is certainly one we never would have known about if
Batman
we hadn't had.
Batman Smells. Yeah.
Oh, the Batman Smells one,
boys
yeah.
Boys these words at school, and I don't know.
Robin laid an egg,
they're
I think.
They're already mutating, yeah. And,
dashing through the snow.
Yeah, I was good at making up.
On a pair of broken skis. You got to wait, you got to come to the concert to hear the rest of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he makes up a new version. He's got the spirit of... Yeah, there's you know, there's a wacky side to the holidays that
we
like too. And some people, it's easy to get a little too caught up in the reverence and the beauty of holiday music, and it's nice to do.
It feels like that's our responsibility too, to really, we have a good time getting into the sacred and the reverent, and then, you know, you have to add a little silly in there too, but... It's, you know, that the 21st.
Well, is the show silly or is it sacred or is it both?
It's both, but I would say it's more sacred than silly, I would say.
Yeah,
I
mean,
we get a good dose of silly, and we rock, yeah. Merry Christmas, baby. We go up against.
Do you do that, Merry Christmas, baby?
Oh,
yeah,
we do.
Okay, so you are going to perform songs that are recognizable in the American.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we wrote a few ourselves, and we've arranged. We found a few oddball ones, like that Anais Mitchell song, some things. But we do some real straight ahead stuff, and
it gives you a respite. Our show from the noisiness of and the bombastic Christmas. Ours is a little bit more of a
kinder, gentler, Christmas.
Kinder, gentler Christmas songs. Yeah.
Kinder, gentler
and
Christmas.
And we do have a show this coming Sunday, too. We have two shows at York, which is on the other sheet.
Okay. I should have taken
Parsons
a better look.
Center in
there's a little
right
tiny
downtown,
room there,
yeah.
Close to where we live.
It's a 60.
So now, which one are the... You have two children?
Yeah, we have two children.
And one of them's four,
one's
and the other
seven.
One's seven. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you're going to have them on... They're going to... potentially perform.
They're potentially
they
change
be their
at all
minds
them.
Pretty often, but
I think Otto's pretty committed at this
he
point.
He was good last night, man. He sang a few songs. And
there's the surprise. We don't even want to tell you.
There's always
about.
The thing where they could get up there and you could be like, okay, go ahead. And they'll be like,
oh. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, how do you feel, you all as professional musicians, do you want to instill music? I mean, I would guess that, you want to instill music in the world, so clearly you would want to instill it in them. It's important to you to bring music to them.
If they're up for it, yeah.
If they're
they
up
want
for
to play
it.
Music,
they were born into the right house if they want to play music.
Yeah, we're
going to
make it
don't,
easy
that's
for them.
Okay.
If they want to drive NASCAR, I'm going to make it tough for them. But, labor under any illusions that we're shaping them according to our, life views. We're doing whatever we can, but they're pretty obviously programmed to be themselves. But I try to imagine, Joyce and I talk a lot about what it would have been like to hear a lot of the music that really moves us. So much earlier, and I love the fact that my 7-year-old's been stealing my iPod and listening to. He doesn't even know that there's, this other world of commercial music, and he's been devouring recently a lot of music that I put on there myself. And so,
and
if
it's pretty sweet that one of the songs I sing at night to him is a song that was your favorite song when you were 18, and he's latched onto it. Billy Gray, Norman Blake song, a ballad, got some killing in it.
So
get their attention.
Yeah, big time.
And those little children are such learning
machines. Nice lullaby, huh?
They're such learning machines, and it would be so nice to fill their heads with some interesting music that'll do them some good all through their lives instead of having them memorize dorky TV commercial things or something. I mean, they're going to learn whatever's around them, and everybody knows the theme songs to the Mario Brothers, video games and things, but if we can get some Doc Watson tunes in their head or some, great old fiddle tunes in there, then we feel like we've done something valuable, planted some seeds.
So it's some live by example, and it's look over here. I've got something more interesting over here. Don't look at that, Mario. Or I don't know. I don't know. My daughter, she really likes to watch TV now, and we barely even watch TV with her. What's going on? I feel like it might be an uphill battle, but certainly a worthy one.
It's going to be a battle.
Just like to make a comment about what Harvey and Joyce were talking about children. I noticed that in the press room on a Friday night when they have the session there, you have these little kids coming in. And I think a lot of the stuff, little kids, they hear music like through the radio, through TV, but they don't actually really know what produces that music. And the fascinating thing is that Steve's daughter will come in. She's two. She's great. And the little kids come in and they see a guitar or they see a flute or they see a violin or fiddle for the first time, and it's like, wow, so that's where the music's coming from. And they go up and they're like, touch it, and they dance and they really love the music. Especially like Steve's daughter, she's so into it. She sings with his stuff. She's got her own little mini Boren,
We'll see what happens in the future.
kids are wonderful. Amazing.
Sort of lead by example, I guess, and see what sticks.
Yeah, what else can we do?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are you just... I like Popeye. I am what I am. Hey, you want to play some more?
Sure.
You look like you want to.
What do you
want to
do? Could do a little bluegrass number or something.
Oh, yeah.
Both of us, people have a hard time believing me, because I've never really recorded much of what could be called bluegrass music, but it's all I did for about 9 years of my life. I was a real fanatic for a long time, singing through my nose and...
Yeah, High and Lonesome?
You betcha.
Couple of bluegrass bands.
Yeah,
and that's what really made me fall in love with.
Well, that's why
non-classical.
So maybe
stuff.
We'll do a one we tend.
There's that festival in Maine, Thomas Point Beach. Yeah, which I think has started again. It's always on Labor Day weekend.
But a good bluegrass band can sing and pick.
Yeah, you bring your kids to a bluegrass festival, they can't get away from it. When they they can see all those other kids playing music.
Wow. That's true if the other kids are doing it.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
It's all about peer pressure.
We need to rehearse this. We don't do these songs but a couple times a year.
Well, while you're tuning, I'll just let you know Harvey's website is woodpecker.com. And Joyce Anderson's website is joyscream.com. Joyscream, JOYSCREAM.com. You can, there's a link to this article about the new CD, Swerve, on your website. And there's also YouTube videos like I played earlier. And there's calendars of events and things like that.
Yeah.
And
having a blast doing very different stuff from what you're hearing tonight, but that's another story.
I know. Well, you know,
there's not enough time.
There's just not enough time. There's just not enough time in an hour to cover it all.
That's what the internet is for.
That's what the internet is for. No, right now we're talking about family. We're talking about concerts. We're talking about Christmas. Get the two of you together. And we're talking about music.
Yeah, we get a kick out of doing. Oh, so sorry. I'm going to switch picks. I grabbed the wrong one. It's a challenge to do songs that you only do now and then, and we're some of the people that leap at that chance to get on the tightrope and see if you can remember one. Here's one that Larry Sparks, I think, introduced, called The Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light to those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine. Oh, beautiful star, the hope, the light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn, into the land of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
of Bethlehem,
shine upon earth until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Perfect day.
Star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Oh, beautiful star,
beautiful, beautiful star of Bethlehem,
shine upon
earth until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way into the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Shine on.
Rock and roll. I love it.
Awesome.
What does that
sound? Thank you all. Just a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, I just want to let everybody know who's tuning in. I have Harvey Rude and Joyce Anderson with us today, and they were just playing a bluegrass number that that they haven't. Well, that they potentially are going to play at your Christmas show
this
Christmas year, right?
Morning CD. It's one we often like to play.
Very
Some
cool.
years we don't get it together, but this year we
seems,
seem to
I
have
think
it together.
We know it.
Yeah,
I think that was definitely a good great warm up. Well, there's a couple shows Sunday, December 16th. Two shows at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Parsons Center, Remick Barn, Old York, Maine.
In fact, there's one website you can go that has info on both of them, the seacoastguitar.org, and that's where the online tickets and the whatever it is, the directions and all that.
Yeah. And then the 21st, as you're probably about to say, is in Dover, and that's a big venue where you can just show up last minute and you'll get a seat.
First Parish Church,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, fill it up. Go to seacoastguitar.org to get tickets. We're gonna have to get going. Thank you both.
Hey, man. Thanks for doing your part. Keep the whole thing going, man. It's great.
Yeah, really great. And well, we have to leave, but I am going to play something from one of your CDs as we go. Up next is going to be the program called On the Radar, Under the Radar. I'm not exactly sure.
You know all about being under the radar.
Yeah, Under the Radar is what's coming up next. I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be, but I'll tell you what. I could play either something off of Scream.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sorry, Swerve. Oh, sorry, I said JoyScream.com.
Oh, yeah, you can put on Stevie Winwood. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, let me play the Stevie Higher Winwood
love.
One. What number is it?
It's
on the disc.
Yeah,
Higher Love, it's number 4.
It is, all right.
Just Joyce all by herself, nobody else.
Yeah,
no,
it's just me looping.
Band,
and
this is live. Just Joyce. This is what you could do all by yourself.
This is what I do live.
All right, and this is what it's going. Hey, thanks thanks again. Anyway, we'll see you all next week on Local Folk.
Think about it. There must be higher love found in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart, I'll look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk blind and we try to see. Falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Where's that higher love I keep thinking of? Worlds are turning. We're just hanging on. Facing our fears, standing out there alone. A yearning is real to me. There must be someone who's feeling for me. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair? We walk blind and we try to see. Falling behind in what could be.